The following is a lecture given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on May 13th, 2007, at the Vedic Culture Center in Kaunas, Lithuania.
So, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this program of the Vedic Culture Center. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha. So, in this modern day society, in spite of our making so much advancement in the field of technology, there is one technology in which we are still living in the dark ages. There is one technology in which we are still living in the dark ages. What is that technology? That is described in the Sanskrit language, Atma Tattva, the technology of the self. We have advanced, practically speaking, in every other field of technology. We have high-tech watches, high-tech MP3 recorders, high-tech airplanes, high-tech mobile phones, high-tech computers, everything high-tech, high-tech, high-tech. But the most basic thing, the most essential aspect of our very existence, why we have neglected that technology, you see, this is called gross ignorance. That every other field we have so much knowledge. But we still do not know who I am. If I ask you who you are, what will you say? You will say, I'm a man. I'm a woman. I'm a Lithuanian. I'm a Latvian. I'm an American. I'm a Russian. You see? But that is not the self. Therefore, in spite of so much advancement of technology, we are not happy. Nor can we ever be happy. No matter how much we may advance in all fields of technology, As long as we remain devoid of Atma Tattva, we will never feel the happiness that we are meant to feel. You see, it actually works like this. There is an all-blissful, all-knowing, all-powerful, all-beautiful, all-renounced, all-knowing, all-wealthy, all-famous, being who exists by dint of his own desire to exist. And in order to expand his own enjoyment, that all-powerful, all-renounced, all-beautiful, all-knowledgeable, all-famous, and all-wealthy being expands from himself an infinitude of living beings. For one purpose and one purpose only. Why does he do that? Because he wants to enjoy loving relationship with all these living beings. So, that's why we exist. We do not exist because our mother and father wanted to have a baby. That explains the existence of this gross body. But this body is simply a covering of the self. It is not the actual self. What is the proof of this bold claim? The proof is your body is constantly changing. If you analyze it scientifically, you will see that at every moment the old blood corpuscles in your body are dying. And you will see that new blood corpuscles are taking their place. So your body is constantly changing. Just like your river here that flows through Kaunas. Are the water molecules sitting there today the same ones that were sitting there yesterday? No, they are not. That river is constantly changing. Because the water is flowing through it. So in the same way, so many chemicals are flowing through this area that you call yourself. Those chemicals are constantly changing. Just like the water molecules in the river are constantly changing. But yet, you can remember experiences you had when you were a little baby. The molecules are completely different. So how is it that you have that remembrance from your childhood? The answer is very simple. You are not the body. You are the conscious self that resides within the body, like the driver within a car.
mes esam sąmoningos sielos, kurios reziduoja šitame kūnelį, ir taip pat kaip vairuotojas reziduoja mašinai.
You are the observer and the manipulator of your body.
Mes esame savo kūno stebėtojai ir tam tikrą prasme manipuliuotojai, kontroliuotojai.
But it is not you.
Bet jis nėra mes.
The greatest fear that we have in this world is death. But the only reason we're afraid of death is we think, I am this body. As soon as you realize, I am not this body, then you become free from the fear of death. Because the soul is bulletproof. The soul is fireproof. The soul is Al-Qaeda proof. Those terrorists, Al-Qaeda? Yes. So all you have to do to become free of illusion and anxiety is to awaken your spiritual identity within you. So if I asked you, all right, now you awaken your spiritual identity, will you know how to do that? If I am in a state of illusion, and I think I would like to get out of this illusion, and I invent my own method to get out of illusion, what will be the nature of my method of getting out of illusion? It will be illusioned. You see? If one is in a state of illusion, any method they invent to get out of illusion, that method will be an illusion also. If you are handcuffed, how will you get out of your handcuffs? Handcuffed like the prisoners, you know? How will you get out of the handcuffs? You require the help of a person who is not handcuffed. So, if I am in a state of illusion, and I want to get out of that illusion, then I must take help of a person who is not illusioned. This person is described in the Vedic literatures in a wonderful book of enlightened knowledge. Known as the Mundaka Upanishad. And in that great book of wisdom, it is clearly stated, Tadvaganartam Sugurumeva Bhigatschat, that if you want to become free from the illusion of material existence, you have no option. You have no alternative. You simply must approach the bona fide spiritual master. And then by his grace, then by his divine power, you will become enlightened with transcendental knowledge of the self. So, in 1971, I had the good fortune of meeting my spiritual master. His photograph is here on the altar. on from as we are seeing on the left side. He is playing on the gong. That is my guru. His name is His Divine Grace, Om Vishnu Pad Badamahamsa Parivajakacharja, Asta Tarasadashi Shimad Esi Bhakti Vedanta Tri Dandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. And he is famous as the founder acharya of ISKCON, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So, we have a prayer we say to our spiritual master. Om Ajnana Timurandas Yagananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Miritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Which means, I was standing in the darkness of ignorance. But my spiritual master has come to me with the torchlight of knowledge. And he is forcing my eyes open. Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances at his lotus feet in thanks for his mercy. So, if one is somehow or other fortunate to come in contact with a bona fide spiritual master, then all of one's problems of life become immediately solved. One simply has to hear from the spiritual master and ask relevant questions to clarify one's understanding. In this way, the seed of spiritual perfection becomes planted in the heart of the sincere listener. And if the sincere listener properly cares for that seed in the heart, he then becomes a perfect spiritual being. There is a science of how to receive and nurture that seed. That science is known in Sanskrit language as Bhakti Yoga. That translates into English language as the science of devotion. So, by engaging in the science of devotion, under the guidance of the bona fide spiritual master, one then achieves an eternal life full of bliss and full of knowledge. So, on the order of my spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, I am now traveling all over the world to teach this Bhakti Yoga science. So, the world population, who is at present deep in the darkness of ignorance, can gain genuine spiritual knowledge, genuine spiritual awakening, and thus become peaceful, happy, and prosperous. The entire world is suffering because they lack this knowledge. There is no more important welfare work than making this knowledge available throughout the entire world. So, for this purpose, I have come to you nice ladies and gentlemen here today to share with you the wonderful science of devotion. So that you can become the happiest people in the whole world and spread this knowledge to your countrymen, who can then spread it to the whole world. This science is centered around mantra. Mantra is a Sanskrit word. Man means mind. And tra means deliver. So a mantra is a transcendental sound which delivers the mind from all illusion and anxiety. At the beginning of this presentation, I chanted the mantra. Of course, there are hundreds and millions of mantras, transcendental sound vibrations which deliver the mind. But in the ancient Vedic literature known as the Kali Santarana Upanishad, it is specifically stated that this particular mantra is the most powerful, the most effective of all the mantras that exist within the universe. And what is that mantra? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. So we invite you all to make this mantra a part of your regular daily life. How many of you here eat every day? How many of you eat food every day? Yes. Some people didn't raise their hand. They're fasting. Come on, y'all, everyone raise your hand. You all eat. Yes. We all eat, yes. Everyone's an eater. Those who don't raise your hand, you're just being dishonest, that's all. You're all eaters. Everybody eats. So, just like every day, you're feeding your body with food. The spiritual master has taught us that every day we must feed our soul with this food. Feed your body and feed your soul, you see. You may say, well, I'm very much like to feed my body, but I don't care about feeding my soul. But you know what? That's stupid. Because your body is here today and gone tomorrow. But your soul lives forever. So why would you only want to feed your body and not feed your soul? It's really less intelligent. Because the soul is there eternally. It never goes away. It never dies. So the spiritual master teaches us that we must not only feed the body, but we also must feed the soul. And the food for the soul is mantra. So take the daily diet of your food and the mantra.
dieta, tai yra maisto dieta ir dvasinė dieta, tai yra.
If you do so,
jeigu tai darysite,
if you do so, I guarantee you,
jeigu tai darysite kasdien, aš garantuoju,
you will be absolutely amazed at the difference in your consciousness.
Jūs nustebsit, kad ta sąmonė labai stipriai pasikeičia.
You will think, I never knew that such happiness could ever be experienced by any person within this world. In other words, you will taste happiness and wisdom which is beyond your wildest dreams. You simply have to make the experiment of chanting the mantra. This mantra is worth thousands and millions of dollars. This mantra is worth thousands and millions of dollars. But we are giving it to you free. Because my guru gave it to me free. I am giving it to you free. That wouldn't be fair if he gave it to me free and then I charged you $1,000 for it. That wouldn't be fair, you see. Even though it's worth far more than $1,000. So I'm giving it free. Do not think because I'm giving it free that it has no value. That would be the biggest mistake. That would be the biggest mistake you've ever made in your entire life. If you were to think this mantra has no value because Sankarshan Das Adhikari gave it to me for free, that would be the worst mistake you ever made in your entire life. So I humbly beg you, do not make this mistake. Take the mantra. Make it your daily diet for the soul. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And your life will be inconceivably sublime. I absolutely guarantee it. So now I can ask if there's any questions. Let's see if any of them have questions. Does anybody here have a question? Is there something you did not understand? Something was not crystal clear for you that I explained? That requires further explanation? Does anyone have any objection to what I have stated? Do any of you feel that I have spoken something wrong? That is improper. Well, it's another word for wrong. Something that I have spoken something that is not scientific. Question? Yeah.
Žalinga. Ir aš į tą, tai kas man nepalankų įsikybės, ir jau teoriškai suprantu, ką sako kiti, kad žiūrėk, daryk taip, tai bus geriau. Aš suprantu, kad tai bus geriau, bet neatsisakau į tai, ką įsikybės, tai kas man nenaudinga. Kodėl aš taip kvailai elgiuosi?
Why I'm acting like that, that I'm attached sometimes to the sinful acts, and if someone who are destructive And if someone says, don't do that, do the other things, still I'm attached. Why I act in this way?
Yes, if one acts in ways that are not proper, this means that you're still under the influence of the three modes of material nature. Under the influence of the modes, we do things that we know are not right, but we do it anyway because we're carried away by the modes. What this means is that actually you are a slave of your own senses. You're not the master of your own senses, you're the slave of your senses. You're not the master of your mind, you're the slave of your mind. Your mind pulls you into doing things which you realize you should not have done. So therefore you have to learn how to bring your mind under your control. That is the result of one who follows the Bhakti Yoga system very carefully. They become the master of their mind. One who has mastered his mind, he cannot be... Somebody can try to make him angry, he won't... He has complete control, he won't get angry. You can insult him in so many ways, but he always keeps a cool head, you see. Because he's no longer attached to his false ego, his false pride. His happiness is knowing that I am the eternal servant of God. And that all I have to do in all times, places, and circumstances to be totally, completely happy is to always think, speak, and act in a way which is pleasing to God. In other words, his happiness is 100% on from the within. He does not depend on any external circumstances for his happiness. He can be rich. He can be poor. He can be young. He can be old. He can be a she. Or she can be a he. You see, the external situation doesn't matter. That person is completely fixed in understanding the spiritual nature of the self. And its relationship with the Supreme Self or God. So if you want to conquer over the sinful nature, the lower nature of the self, you should take this mantra every day as your medicine. And this mantra will empower you to bring your mind under complete, total control. To where nothing and no thing and no person can mess with your consciousness. You are perfectly fixed in divine consciousness. This is called Krishna consciousness. And we invite you to enter into this sublime realm of spiritual perfection. Is that all right? Very good. Any other questions? What was your question?
Why have we to feed our soul? For it is anyway immortal, I mean eternal.
Why do we have to
feed? You said we have to feed our soul.
Feed, yes. Yes, the soul doesn't require food like your body does. But you, right now, even though you're a soul, you are misidentifying yourself with the body. So the soul right now is in a diseased state, known as bodily identification. So what you need is medicine. You have to feed yourself with medicine to free yourself from the false identification with your material body, to come back to your original healthy state. Just like the doctor gives us medicine when we are sick. Sickness is an unnatural state of the body. So in the same way, to think that I'm this body, that's a diseased state of the soul. Such a diseased person requires medicine to bring them back to complete total identification with the spiritual self. That medicine is the mantra. And the doctor who prescribes the medicine and directs the patient, he is known as the spiritual master, guru.
Yeah.
Any other questions? Yeah.
How can a sound make such an influence on consciousness?
Yes, this is a very, very nice question. How can a sound make such an impact on one's consciousness? Actually, no ordinary sound can do that. Of course, in this world, we have also the example of a laser beam, highly focused light. You can take a laser beam and you can burn through metal with it. Simply light can burn through metal. So, just as a laser beam is very powerful to burn through metal. Sound vibration, highly focused sound vibration, is even more potent than a laser beam. Highly focused transcendental sound can burn through all the coverings that separate you from your original identity.
Ir šitas koncentruota vibracija gali prasiskverbti pro visus apvalkalus, kurie slepia jūs pačius.
This mantra is not something that was invented by a human being.
Šitą mantrą joks ne žmogus išrado.
Golokera prema dhana hadi nama sankirtana. This mantra, it is coming from the spiritual world.
Šitą mantrą ateina iš dvasinės plotmės, iš dvasinio pasaulio.
It has been sent by God to us here as a special gift.
Yeah, duoda aukščiausias Dievo asmuo mums kaip ypatinga dovana.
Just like you may be locked in a prison. It's a huge structure. Such thick walls, thick bars, how you could ever get out of the prison. It's a huge building. It's a huge structure. But there's one thing that will get you out of that prison. Simply you have to have one little small key that's the proper key. And by the power of that little tiny piece of metal, you can get out of that huge prison. So it may appear that this mantra is very tiny. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And that this material world is a huge, vast universe. How could I possibly escape from this material consciousness by a little tiny mantra? But just like that little key can get you out of the big, big prison, this little tiny mantra can take you beyond this whole material universe. Actually, you may be surprised to hear, but this entire universe is simply a curtain that is covering your eyes, that's all. And by the power of mantra, the curtain opens. And then you see what is on the other side of the doorway. So you may say, I don't believe it. But I challenge you. Try it. What do you have to lose? In this world, haven't we tried everything already? We've tried all varieties of ways to be happy, isn't it? And we're still unhappy. So why not try this? We've tried everything else. In this world, people try everything. They take this drug, that kind of sex, so many things they try. So why not try the mantra and see the result? I guarantee you this. If you will chant the mantra exactly as the spiritual master is teaching you to chant the mantra, you will personally meet God face to face. This is real. Any other questions?
Why do we fear to live spiritual life?
Excellent question. Thank you for that question. That's a very nice question. My spiritual man, this is an amazing thing that we're actually afraid of it. Let's be honest, we're afraid of it. It scares us. My spiritual master one time said, we have a fear of our own spiritual identity. We're actually afraid to know who we really are. We've suffered in so many ways in this world that we finally reach the conclusion it's just better to be an illusion. We find comfort in being an illusion. There was even a popular song like that in America. The singer was singing, I prefer to be in a state of illusion. We find some comfort in the illusion. Because in so many times we thought we were going to find the truth, but it turned out we were cheated. But to reject the idea of truth because we've been cheated so many times, that's not very intelligent. Just like sometimes when I go to India, I change my US dollars into Indian rupees so I can, you know, do. But sometimes when I change my US dollars into Indian rupees, they give me a counterfeit Indian rupee note. Counterfeit means fake money that's not real. In fact, the last time, a couple of years ago, as I was leaving India, I was trying to change my rupees back into dollars. And I had a 500 rupee note. And the money changer said, "We won't give you anything for that note. That is counterfeit money." So now, because I've been cheated by false money, will I refuse to go to India? No, it's because there's some counterfeit money. It doesn't mean all the money is counterfeit. Because so many times I've been cheated by people saying, "Now I will give you the truth." And it turned out to be a lie. Does that mean I say, well, there is no truth?
Is it?
I don't want to hear about the truth because I've been cheated too many times. Just leave me alone, you see. There is a class of philosophers like that. They are called skeptics. They say there is no absolute truth. But we have to ask the skeptics, are you absolutely sure? Because you cannot be absolutely sure that there's no absolute. Because that is a contradiction. So the absurdity of the non-existence of the absolute truth proves that there must be an absolute truth. The absolute truth cannot not exist. It must exist by dint of the absurdity of its non-existence. It must exist due to the absurdity, the ridiculousness, the stupidity of its non-existence. Logically, you understand?
Logiškai paėmus, neturi egzistuoti dėl to, kad egzistuoja ir neabsoliučios žinios, dėl to egzistuoja turi absoliučios žinios.
So instead of being afraid of our spiritual identity because of being so overwhelmed with skepticism, we should think that somewhere out there there must be a light in this darkness. In the English language we have a saying. There's a light at the end of the tunnel. So that light is your spiritual identity. Don't be afraid of the light. In fact, there is a Vedic injunction. It says, Tamasi ma jyotirgama. Come out of the darkness and come into the light. If we compare the darkness and the light, we will see that the light is much more powerful than darkness. You can make a scientific experiment. Here's what you do. Go into a room that's completely dark and light a match. And you'll see that that light goes all over the whole room. Little tiny match. Completely, totally dark room. But that little match will create a light that goes throughout the whole room. So now the second experiment is this. Go on to a bright sunny day here in Kaunas. Take a can that has pure darkness in it. A little can. Go outside with your can. Pull the lid off the can. And see how far that darkness spreads in the light of the day. That darkness will be immediately destroyed by the light. You see? So the light is always more powerful than darkness. But owing to all of these skeptical philosophers who say there is no truth, there is no truth, there is no absolute truth. You see? We become fearful. When the bona fide spiritual master comes to us and tells us that we have an eternal spiritual identity, we think, well, I don't know, I've been cheated by so many people. Maybe this one's another cheater like everyone else. Therefore, I do not ask you to accept anything blindly. You Lithuanian people are highly intelligent people. I ask you to use your intelligence to understand these simple facts of life. That's all. And then you will realize that you have an eternal spiritual identity. And when you are ready to awaken that identity, you approach the spiritual master and he will tell you how to awaken him. Is that all right? Yeah, thank you very much. All right, next question.
Some personal question.
Personal?
Yeah, but she wants to ask.
Yes, yes.
When you first received this mantra, how much time passed through when you started the chanting loudly and giving it to others?
How much time passes?
Yeah, from the first time you received the mantra.
How long ago was that?
Yeah.
Yes, I first received this mantra during the autumn of 1968. And I have been chanting it ever since. At first, some friend of actually came and taught me the mantra. Then later on, I found there was a movement that chants the mantra. I began seriously chanting it on a steady basis in 1971, when I became the disciple of my guru. But before that, for 2.5 years, I was chanting it off and on my own. When I first... Off and on. I wasn't chanting every day. Because I was just experimenting with them. But I still remember vividly how when I first started chanting this mantra, I would sit in front of a poster of Radha and Krishna, and I would light a candle, and I would burn some incense, and I would turn off the lights. It was very mystical. And I would chant the mantra, and I could feel how in my subtle body I was flying all over the universe. Just like on a magic carpet ride. So I knew this mantra was very, very powerful. Because I could feel how it was taking me on an incredible, magical journey. But I was only able to totally utilize the power of the mantra when I accepted a guru. He then taught me how to perfectly utilize the mantra. You can say that before I met my guru, I was an amateur chanter. And after I accepted my guru, I became a professional chanter. Any other questions? All questions are welcome. Don't be shy. All right.
What religious faith did you have till the 1968?
What religion?
Yeah, you were practicing.
Yes, I was one of those so-called Christians.
And now what is your attitude towards Christianity?
Now I understand. Now, by the grace of the Supreme Lord and His pure devotees, I become a perfect Christian. When one becomes enlightened with transcendental knowledge and practices that transcendental knowledge at every moment, and practices that transcendental knowledge at every moment, you achieve the perfection of all religions. You become the perfect Christian, the perfect Jew, the perfect Muslim, the perfect Hindu, the perfect Buddhist, and the perfect philosopher. So, you don't have to convert from one religion to another. By chanting this mantra, you will achieve the perfection of your religion. So, I cordially invite you to do that. Whatever your pathway is, you bring this mantra to your pathway. And you will achieve the perfection of your pathway. So there was a question here.
Have you got a personal tumor, or are you just...
I understood, but...
It's like Do you have your personal children?
Children? I have 33 children. Not by sexual combination, but by spiritual initiation. Even though I have my wife, she is sitting there in the back of the room, Vishnupriya Devi Dasi. We practice celibacy. But we have children by teaching this knowledge all over the world. Just like here is my disciple Abhinanda Prabhu. And this nice young man, Carlos, he is getting ready for initiation now. So, anyone who wants to become my spiritual son or daughter, they can do that. You can do that living in an ashram, or you can live at home also and do. And to facilitate it, we have an e-course on the internet where you can constantly stay in touch with me wherever I'm around the world. We have, it's available in English, Ruski, French, and Spanish. We don't have it in Lithuanian yet. But someday it may be available in Lithuanian also. So yes, I'll be accepting disciples from all over the world. But as far as biological children, I never had any biological children. It's much easier to have children after they are beyond the diaper stage. Diaper, you know, them. They put on the babies and they pass stool in them, you see. Diaper, on the little baby, that white cloth they wrap around his bottom. And it becomes filled up with stool and urine, you see. It's much easier to get children after they are beyond the diaper stage, you see. They're no longer using the diaper. Yeah. So I prefer to get the children after they've passed the diaper stage. Yes. So, next question.
When can we say that the person is ready to accept spiritual master?
When can we say that a person is ready to accept a spiritual master? The answer to your question is given by Lord Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. If you consult the Bhagavad Gita in the fourth chapter, verse number 34, you will find the answer to your question. Krishna says, Tadvidi pranipatena padi prashnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninas tatvadarshinah. Just try to learn the truth by approaching the spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. These self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. So when you are ready to inquire from the spiritual master and you are ready, you're willing to offer him some service also, that means you are ready to approach the guru. Not that I simply take some knowledge from the guru, but I don't offer him some service in return, you see.
Jeigu aš gaunu iš mokytojo žinias, bet net jeigu jam tarnystės, tai nėra gerai.
When someone gives you some kindness, don't you want to be kind to them in return? That's how we make loving relationships in this world. Either with a friend or with a spouse. We give them our love, and then we accept their love that they give in return. So, the spiritual master, he is giving the greatest love. He is giving mantra. So, if we appreciate the spiritual master is so full of love, he has come to give me this mantra. Then we naturally want to show him how much we appreciate his love by giving him our love also. So when one is willing to serve the spiritual master and ask and inquire from him, then you are ready to approach Guru. Next question.
I have a question. Why should the mantra be accepted from from a spiritual master?
Yeah.
Someone says, Prabhupada gave mantra, I can chant, why to accept master?
One may say, well, this mantra is in these books. I will just take the mantra from the books. So that is valid. If you simply by reading Prabhupada's books, the mantra is written there many times. That is a valid way of receiving the mantra, no doubt. However, if you want to become perfect in chanting the mantra, then you need to follow the instructions in Prabhupada's books. Srila Prabhupada instructs that you should approach the spiritual master. You should take shelter of him by initiation. So, that's the system. You approach Guru, you take shelter of him by initiation. That's how you become perfect. I know this from my own experience. Before I met Guru, I was simply an amateur chanter who couldn't do anything with him. It was a fun and interesting experiment. But when I actually approached the spiritual master, then it became solid. So Prabhupada instructs that you must approach the spiritual master. One lady in London, she said, can't I just have a guru through books only? Isn't that enough? Srila Prabhupada said, no, you cannot take a guru in the air. You must make guru concrete. So that's why we require to approach a living guru and receive mantra from him. Next question. So everyone now in this room is completely satisfied. If you're a little shy, now's your chance. We're asking anyone who's shy that doesn't normally ask questions. Now's your chance. A special invitation to all the shy people. Shy means afraid to ask. If you're afraid to ask, now's your chance. You can. Are you one of the?
Does soul have an age?
Does what?
Does soul has an age?
This question, yes, thank you, it's a very nice question. Does the soul have an age? Yes, the soul does have an age. The soul is infinite. Its age is infinity. Because the soul has always existed. There was never a time when it did not exist. Nor will there ever be a time when it will not exist. So what does this mean? This means that we're all the same age. You and I are exactly the same age. We're both infinite. Everybody in this room is exactly the same age. I saw a little child. Is that little child still here? No, there's a little baby. There's a young girl in the back, you see. It's a young girl. I'm an old man. But yet me and this young girl here, we are the same age, you see. Because the soul is infinite. Next question. Yeah.
What Maya is, we have spoken about Maya many times today.
What is Maya? Maya means that which is not.
Maya iluzija reiškia tai, kas nėra.
That which does not actually exist. Maya means the illusory energy, illusion. Just like if you think that you're a young Lithuanian man. That is Maya. Because you're not that body. The body is real. It's composed of so many elements. It's a real thing. The body is real. But if you think, I am this body, that is Maya. That is illusion. Next question. Yeah.
But it is said that we should take care of the body no less than the soul.
Someone said to take care of the body no less than the soul. I won't object to that. But the problem is we take care of the soul less than the body. That's the problem. Yeah. If you would take care of your soul as much as you take care of the body, that would, then you'd be okay.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with taking care of the body.
But soul without the body doesn't live?
Huh?
Soul without the body doesn't live?
No, the soul does not depend on the body. Your body will die, but the soul will not die. The body is just a covering. Just like I'm wearing this yellow shirt, you see. This shirt may become old and worn out. I may throw it away. But I will still live. So your body is a garment, that's all. You take care of it, you wash it, you iron it. But you should never think that it's you. Do you understand? Yes. Thank you very much. So, you had a question.
It is said that there's no future, there's no present, and there's no past. But it's very difficult to understand that because everything is changing. How to understand that?
Yes, changes are taking place within the dimension known as time. That's where all the changes are happening. If you want to understand what exists in the other side of reality, the side of timelessness, you can never figure it out with your brain. Because your brain is locked into the time and space dimension. If you want to actually understand what is timelessness, there's only one way to do that. Do you have any idea what that would be? You must travel to that dimension of timelessness by the power of mantra. You see, the only way you can know it is to actually experience it. Therefore, I'm begging you to please seriously take up this chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. Because then you will actually experience that dimension of timelessness. And you will know exactly what I'm talking about. Will you accept my invitation to the world of timelessness? Yes or no? That means maybe, maybe not. Well, you'll never know unless you take my invitation. Do you understand English? Take my... Yes, she does.
Little bit. Little bit.
All right, little bit is enough. Take my card. Get, enroll in my free e-course. That way you can keep... That way you can feel that you're at a safe distance. But you can still check it out. That way you can feel that you're safe in your own home, away from me. Safe distance means that you might be afraid that I'm some powerful guru that might brainwash you, you see. Bring you under some hypnotic spell. And therefore you don't want to get too close. But you can easily study it through the internet by that e-course. From the safety and security of your own bedroom, your own home. By signing up for my free e-course, you will receive a daily meditation in your email. It is called thought. It is called thought for the day. So this way you can study it on your own without feeling like you're under any pressure. Yeah. Any other questions?
You told that mantra is more powerful when you get from guru. So what is the use of our chanting now before the initiation?
But I've already given you the mantra. You have it. I've given it to you.
What is the difference when you get the mantra from the guru and when you hear from somewhere?
Yes, there are so many people who actually chant Hare Krishna. But their understanding of who is Krishna is imperfect. If you receive the mantra from such persons, your chanting will never bring you to a perfect understanding of Krishna. But if you receive the mantra from someone who perfectly understands who is Krishna, by that chanting you will also understand perfectly who is Krishna. That's a fact. Next question. Everybody's ready now to achieve the supreme perfection? Or you would rather stay in a state of illusion? It's your choice. I haven't come to force you, okay? I've simply come to give you the information so that you can make an educated choice, that's all. You can remain in illusion if you want. Or you can come out of the illusion if you want. So I hope you'll make the right choice that's best for you. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.